This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is just about 5:06 and you're with Lynn on the Evening Edition. And first up on the show, we're asking whether it's time to remove the fuel subsidy. So I should be clear, this is not necessarily an idea that's stemming from me. Instead, it's coming from PSM, or Parti Socialist Malaysia, who called on the government to remove the subsidy now that we're seeing oil prices suffering their biggest fall since 1991. In fact, Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin announced today that he's created a new Economic Action Council to address basically this issue, oil prices, as well as other things like the COVID-19 outbreak, since it has quite a big impact on the economy. And I think we'll cover that as and when something emerges from that council. But going back to PSM and to fuel subsidies, basically, this is what they said. They think that the government should get rid of the automatic pricing mechanism and allow for free float, saying that this move would save the government almost 6 billion ringgit. And in a Free Malaysia Today article, Sharon Raj, who is the party's Environmental and Climate Crisis Bureau Committee member, basically said they want the savings channeled into subsidising and expanding public transport services in the country. But he did also ask for the price for Euro 2M diesel and Euro 5 diesel to be fixed. So we're going to be looking at both these things throughout the show, essentially whether or not doing away with a fuel subsidy, how that would work. We're also going to be talking about a wish list of sorts for public transport, because that, of course, is quite a large sum of money that could potentially be pumped back into improving our public transport. But really, there's a lot going on here. If you look at changing or removing fuel subsidies, it's always been a sticky topic. Even Pakatan Harapan's targeted fuel subsidy program never quite got off the ground. And even along the way, it needed a ton of explaining and adjusting. You know, first it was going to be... I think even in terms of how much the subsidy was going to be, how it was going to be given, who qualified for it, there were a lot of questions surrounding that. And so the idea now, I guess, of doing away with it entirely is somewhat radical. It's also kind of scary to consider how dependent we would be on what happens in the rest of the world. If you look at where oil prices now, it seems very feasible because they're so low. But then if you think about the plunge in the price itself and how we got there and how it has to do with things that are pretty much wildly beyond our control, then I think the idea of that fluctuation can prove to be a little bit scarier. So that's what we're going to be talking about. I have two guests who are going to be speaking with us shortly. Firstly, it's going to be Datuk Khairul Anwar Abdul Aziz, who's the president of the Petrol Dealers Association Malaysia. And after that, we'll be speaking with Lawrence Todd, who is the head of research and development at Ideas. But of course, I want to hear from you. You know, do you think that we should be doing away with fuel subsidies? Are we ready for that? Call us and let us know, 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, on the line is Datuk Khairul Anwar Abdul Aziz, president of the Petrol Dealers Association Malaysia. Datuk, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me.
So, first question, are you in favour of or against removing the petrol subsidy, as we saw suggested by PSM?
Again, straightforward.
Okay, and why so?
Okay, first, there's two types of countries when it comes to oil and gas in this world, oil-producing or oil-consuming nation. We are an oil-producing nation. So, if we are totally removing subsidy, that means when the price goes down, which a lot of governments doing that, they remove the subsidy when price goes down so that you let it go and then take a step back and no longer control it. But when the price shoots up, that's where the public anger comes in, and that's where government have been dethroned. We're talking about Suharto and many other people, because at the end of the day, the people are paying higher price. I know you are saying stop subsidy for petrol, but control subsidy for diesel, because diesel supposedly is the one driving up inflation. But no, I think both are driving inflation. And when we are a fuel producing nation, our government gets more income when the price goes up, so they can use part of that to subsidize. Because people's anger will be one issue that that you cannot contain, because we are totally no longer in control of that price. And when the price of commodity goes down, it will go up. Another thing, inflation will come. And the problem that we have right now is that the changes are too often. And once there's a spike, inflation comes. And when there's a fall, the prices go back down. So the issue is we don't want too much of an uncertainty and instability in the price of fuel.
Right. So with that said, I mean, this was to do with removing it entirely, right, and having it be in free float. Do you think that there should be any sort of adjustment made on petrol subsidies then in general? Say we don't do away with it completely, does it still need to be adjusted?
Okay. There are many mechanisms that I've been studying that's available across the board, overseas, adopted by countries, and the varying degrees of success that they actually took it. One such mechanism would be to put a floor and a ceiling. Because, when you put a ceiling, anything above, the government has to grow on subsidy. So they have to get some money to be able to plunge in to pay the subsidy. But we have a floor, and if the price is going as low as some people are saying, 1 ringgit 32, 50 cent downwards, then you can keep that excess money for you to use that to pay back the subsidy and when it goes above the ceiling. So that's called the stabilization fund. That's one of the ways that we can do. And number two, there's also the targeted subsidy, which the previous government was trying to implement. But unfortunately, the mechanism is not so clear, and we haven't finalized it then. And then now we cannot talk about that anymore. So coming back to this area, I think there still has to be government control in some way or other. Because if it's a free float, the first thing that's going to happen is that, you know, Malaysia is very lucky because the government controls the price, controls the transportation cost. So everywhere fuel is the same price. If it's free float, the rakyat in the kampung is going to get higher price because transportation is higher, demand is lower, the price is higher at the kampung, and then it's not going to be good for us, Malaysia.
And looking at the situation now with oil prices, whenever we do see oil prices being in a flux like this, how does this affect petrol station operators?
Okay. Against popular misconception, I would like to say that petrol dealers like the price to be low. The government don't. The government wants the income, so they don't want the price to be low. The people like the price to be low, obviously, and we, the dealers, would like the price to be low because if you pay for fuel of 50 ringgit, you actually consume more litres. So we make more because we make per litre. However, the issue is on the frequency of the price change. For example, last Friday, the price dropped by 19 cents. Mm. So it was at 208, and then after taking our margin and our cost and everything, so the cost to us, effective cost, is about 204, 205 from the 208 that we sell. And we have about underground stock that we have to sell another 5 or 6 or 7 days to get rid of. And when the price goes down to 189, every litre that we sell underground, we are selling at a loss of 15 to 16 cents. Any business, you need to buy lower and you need to sell higher. You need to make the margin. Otherwise, there's no business, right?
Yeah.
So the issue is, it's not too much per se the quantum, but the fact that it's only for 1 week and then another change. And there's an impending fall of price again. Right now, the fuel underground, I'm selling at a loss until today. Maybe tomorrow, around 95, because it's a higher volume, I'll start to earn normal margin again. But certainly Euro 5 and around 97, I'm going to sell at a loss until Friday, because underground, on Friday, normally those low-volume products, we have about 7, 8 or 9 days stock. So if the change goes 1 week and another fall, it's going to wipe out our working capital. I can tell you, people don't understand. People think that petrol dealers are rich. Some of us are. But we're just like the normal rakyat. We have B40, M40 and top 20 of the dealers. So the dealers in the kampung, they earn 5,000 ringgit or less. Smart Stream in the Felda areas, Burap in the Langkawi and other rural areas, they earn around this much. And one night on Friday alone last week, we lost on average 15,000 ringgit in terms of our working capital. So these people need 3 months of income to cover that one night. And if this week another 15,000, a lot of them will be moving short.
So I guess on that note then, final question. Considering these changing social-political issues that can affect petrol and how it's sold here in the country, how has the economic slowdown from COVID-19 also affected the demand for petrol?
Okay, let's talk slightly more general. Oil and gas, especially retail, is hit, and commercial is hit hard. Firstly, on aviation, obviously, because people are not traveling. Then retail is starting to slow down. I mean, you go to KLCC now, you hardly get parking before, but easily get parking now because people are not going to retail, public events, and so on and so forth. So we see first, on our side, our shop convenience is getting a hit. And that's normal across the board. Economy is down, COVID, people are not going out, and so on and so forth. We don't have delivery from our station. But we also see petrol going down. Normally, when price goes down, petrol sales go up. But this time around, apart from Saturday and Sunday, which was an unusual demand because people were not buying on Friday knowing there's a pending fall in price, Monday onwards, our actual volume actually went down versus norm. So I think this COVID thing is actually affecting everyone, including petrol.
Dato' Khairul, thank you very much for being with us today.
Welcome.
You just heard there Datuk Khairul Anwar Abdul Aziz, who's the president of the Petrol Dealers Association Malaysia, giving his take on what it would mean to remove the petrol subsidy. So he was pretty unequivocal. He said against it. We'd like to hear from you, though. I mean, how do you feel about this suggestion that's come from Parti Socialist Malaysia for the government to do away with fuel subsidies entirely? You can call us at 7733-2900 to weigh in. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, for more of a wider economic look, I guess, we'll be speaking with Lawrence Todd, who is the head of research and development at Ideas. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Be firmly motivated. BFM 89.9.
It's 5:19 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn. We're talking today about removing petrol subsidies, removing subsidies for fuel. And this is coming from Parti Socialist Malaysia, who has said that the government should get rid of the automatic pricing mechanism and allow for free float, although that doesn't extend to the price of diesel, which they do say should be fixed. And the idea here is that this would allow for more spending to go to public transport. That's kind of a separate thing that we'll be talking about after the 6 o'clock news. But in the meantime, we'd like to know, I guess, basically, how do you feel about that? Do you think that it's time for fuel subsidies to be done away with? You can call 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And messages are already coming in. We'll get to it shortly. But first on the line with us is Lawrence Todd, who is the head of research and development at Ideas. Lawrence, thanks for joining us.
Hi.
So let's talk about what Parti Socialist Malaysia said, right? They said a subsidy removal would save the government close to 6 billion ringgit. Do you agree that the government would be able to save that significant amount if we were to do away with subsidies?
Well, I'm not sure about the exact figure. I haven't done the calculation myself, and obviously it's a slightly moving target, what with the movement in the oil prices. But clearly it's a significant source of expenditure. Pakatan, of course, we're trying to rationalise that to some degree by making it more targeted. But still, it's still a significant sum. I would expect to be somewhere in that range for sure. And it would constitute a major saving if it was scrapped. But of course, you know, as you've been saying already, the discussion really is about, okay, how and when to sort of taper off the subsidy and how to manage the shifting of that cost from the government to the consumer, both individuals, households, families who need to get around, and then also businesses. So I think, yes, clearly there's money to be saved, but it's a question about how do you make that transition from the subsidy program to a more market-based situation.
So I do need to put you on the spot here and ask, are you in favour for, the subsidy or removing? Are you, someone who thinks, yeah, it's time for it to be removed?
Well, I'll probably have to sort of equivocate in some way. So I think I would say that, look, in the long term, I think it needs to be removed ultimately. But the question is, how we get there. So I think in like in general, it's not a sustainable situation for a number of reasons, both financially, but of course, with the environmental in an environmental context, it's just not sustainable to be subsidizing the use of fossil fuels. And I think that's something that the Malaysian government is like increasingly focused on, or certainly was. I mean, we don't know yet what the new government's priorities will be, but this is something that was increasingly being discussed within government circles before. So I think that the long-term direction of travel has to be away from the subsidy, but the question is, on what time frame do you achieve that? I think scrapping it overnight is clearly not a viable idea, given, the role that transportation plays in driving the cost of living, and as also as a business cost. So I think from that perspective, I don't advocate, cutting the program overnight, but I think we do have to have a roadmap, essentially, to gradually rationalizing and reducing it. So I think in that context, I think Pakistan were in the right mind frame in terms of trying to make the subsidy more targeted, tying it to BSH recipients. I think you mentioned already there were some problems in terms of the implementation of that, but I do think that was generally the right direction. I think that should be the path that the new government continues to pursue.
So on that note, and you talked about this earlier as well, right, about this idea of how it would actually look, how it would translate into real-life terms. If we were to remove those subsidies, what would the transition look like on the ground? And what are some of the key challenges that you would see coming?
Well, I mean, basically, the end result is that the consumer, both industrial and personal, are much more exposed to the changing cost of fuel. So in the end, what happens is that, price would play a much greater role in who can afford petrol. And that would clearly have an impact in terms of many people that rely on transportation by car in order to work and to get around. And therefore, that would, in some cases, presumably drive pressure on the already quite underutilized or sort of under capacity, I should say, public transport system. I think you'd also see an impact in the industrial sector, obviously, where transportation by freight on the road is still the major route in Malaysia. We don't use rail anywhere near as much as some other countries do. So I think petrol is a kind of key ingredient in the sort of industrial mix as well as in people's everyday lives. So I think what essentially would happen is you'd see much more volatility in the cost, both for individuals and businesses, and therefore that would sort of drive sort of more variation in activity. But look, I mean, I think ultimately that can be okay if individuals have resilience to absorb that volatility. So I think it's generally about how do we get to a place where incomes are sustainable, there's resilience in the business sector, the government has some stabilizers in place, that it doesn't need to kind of constantly bear down on costs because people can afford to manage cost rises on their own.
We do have this thought that's come from Raymond on WhatsApp, who says removal of fuel subsidies should be done in tandem with the reduction of excise tax or import duties for cars. Would you agree with that?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't. I mean, I do probably favour a reduction in the excise tax for cars, but I don't see. I think it's the difference between sort of the capital cost and the operational cost. So yeah, you can reduce the capital cost maybe, but the operational cost is still there in the fuel. So so I'm not sure, and I'm not sure how many low income households are importing cars versus buying them domestically in the market. Mm. And I also think that in the longer term, I think, as you've hinted at as well, there's a wider discussion we need to have in Malaysia, which is partly why the fuel subsidy is such a central issue, is because Malaysia is so car dependent. And I think that's under pressure on a number of fronts. Firstly, that I think, those of us who live and work in KL have seen that we've just hit saturation on the number of cars that can navigate the KL traffic network. So it doesn't allow a kind of scaling of the urban workforce anymore. And then, of course, there's the environmental issue. So I think, aside from just looking at this as, okay, how do we keep car travel cheap, we actually need to have the broader conversation, which is, okay, what is the future of travel in Malaysia? How are we going to, yes, develop the public transport network, or how are we going to bring in new forms of private transport, such as electric cars? So I think it's about sort of zooming out a little bit and trying to think how we can have a sort of holistic system that meets the needs of consumers and also addresses these broader problems we've had with this car dependence.
Which is actually what we're going to be trying to do a little bit later on, talking about public transport. But we've just got a couple of minutes left, Lawrence. Last question. This, of course, this question in no small part, I think, is prompted by the price war that we're seeing play out within OPEC, basically. How do you see Malaysia being affected by this overall? How do you see the price war itself playing out?
Well, I mean, the price war itself, there's the politics of OPEC, which is difficult to predict. And that obviously is happening. It seems constantly that at the moment we're talking about crises within crises.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
You've now got this OPEC price war happening in the context of COVID-19, which I think, as your previous guest was saying, has created a real sort of demand shock for petroleum, which is further lowering the price. So it's quite difficult actually to sort of separate some of those different factors. And I think I saw some movement in the oil price again today. So I'm not sure. You know, when you've got these kind of concentric layers of crisis, it's difficult to know how long individual aspects of it are going to last. But look, I think to set that aside and come back to the Malaysian context here, is that clearly, and then we learned this lesson in 2014, it's very, very dangerous for Malaysia to be dependent on petroleum revenue from a federal fiscal perspective. So I was reading from one of our fellows that, every $1 drop in the price of a barrel of oil costs the Malaysian government 300 million ringgit. Now, that is a very vulnerable situation. And this, of course, is part of what motivated the previous government to bring in the GST. And I see that there's some discussion today on bringing that back again. And I think, that clearly is a discussion that needs to be had, which is, how do we diversify the fiscal base? Because ultimately, whether or not OPEC continues to have a price war or if there's a further shock to demand that brings down the price of oil, the point, whatever it is on the outside causing that, it's outside of Malaysia's control. So the real lesson from it is not to how can we get better at predicting those things, it's how can we make them less of a problem for us. So it's back to how do we diversify the tax base and reduce this reliance.
Lawrence, thank you very much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
That was Lawrence Todd, Head of Research and Development at Ideas, talking about fuel subsidies and whether it's time to remove them. If you'd like to weigh in, again, those numbers, 7733 2900 to call, WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.